Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat. Welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. How about this? Our final show this off-season from Progressive Field, as next week we will join you from Goodyear, Arizona and the Indian Spring Training Complex there. Our shows throughout the spring coming to you from Goodyear and then on to the season. So baseball close at hand. Now we can put away the hot stove for a little while after this week's show. So that's great news for all those fans looking forward to a brand new season. On this week's show, we'll talk some pitching with Tribe reliever Cody Allen, back for another season as the Indians closer. Just don't tell him that he's the full-time closer, and Terry Francona as well, but he'll get the bulk of those opportunities this year. Carlos Carrasco will join us as well, coming off an outstanding finish to his season. What does 2015 hold for him? A lot of potential there. On the Prospect Watch, we will visit with Jordan Smith, a big outfielder who spent last season at AA. The Indians believe some good power potential there. And we'll continue with our American League Central Division opponent previews, the Minnesota Twins on tap this week. A lot of moves in the offseason. Should be an improved ball club in an organization that has an outstanding farm system, but has been struggling at the major league level the past several seasons. So a lot to get to this week on Tribe Talk. You stay right there as we get rolling with Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you on this frigid weekend in Northeast Ohio. But some clearing skies and warmer temperatures on the horizon for Indians pitchers and catchers as they'll be reporting this week officially to Goodyear, Arizona and Indians spring training. How about this? We are not that far from games being on the air. Our first broadcast, the spring training opener, Tuesday, March the 3rd, when the Indians take on the Cincinnati Reds. We'll get going at 2:55 with a 3:05 first pitch for you. And the Indians and Reds will kick off the exhibition slate in Goodyear at Goodyear Ballpark. Well, a big key to the Indians' fortunes a year ago, the work of their bullpen. It will be again. A lot of the cast of characters back for another season, including closer Cody Allen. Heading into last season, he was not the closer for this ball club. John Axford was, the Indians bringing in that veteran presence to close games out, but after a difficult stretch early in the year, Axford was removed from that role and Cody Allen took over, moving up from that eighth inning spot, which he had performed so well in during 2013. Well, the results last season, a record of 6-4, 24 saves and 28 attempts, and an ERA of 2.07. Here's the good stuff, though. As you look deeper into the numbers, he threw just under 70 innings and only allowed 48 hits while striking out 91. Outstanding numbers across the board. The appearances, too, the durability, 76 appearances. That's what has the Indians so ecstatic about Cody Allen. That was second best in the American League behind only his teammate, Brian Shaw, who led the American League in games pitched with 80. So another stellar season for Allen. His second full season in the major leagues, following up an outstanding campaign in 2013. And again, durability has been a big key for Allen. He's thrown a lot these past two seasons, 77 appearances in 13 and the 76 more last season. But when we caught up with him during Tribe Fest week, he talked about the amount of work that he does and yes, acknowledged that it is a lot, but a good off-season plan has him ready to go for 2015.
You know, this year, I started training and everything like that, towards the end of October, and didn't really pick up a baseball until December. You know, I was going in October all the way till I leave for spring training, getting stuff done for my shoulder and just strengthening it back up and getting it stretched out and loosened up and everything like that. But to be honest, I feel great. You know, I felt great at the end of the year. I felt great at the end of the year in 2013. So, you know, I feel like we got a pretty good system in place here where, you know, granted, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of appearances and stuff like that, but we're not adding extra stuff on the side. You know, I'm not warming up a couple times a game. I'm not pitching 4 days in a row. He doesn't have us out there doing PFPs, you know, once a week where we're making extra throws, you know. And, you know, me and Carlos Carrasco were throwing partners for the most part last year. We had a good throwing program. We got exactly what we needed out of it, not too much, not too little. So it was good, you know, and he gave me days when I needed them.
It seems like there's a fine line between a lot of work, where you were close to that, but also I know talking to you a couple of times during the season, if you don't get enough, you lose your sharpness.
Yeah,
so how do you walk that line?
It's tough, man. He's done an awesome job with it where, you know, say we win five games in a row by 10 runs, or, you know, we have five or six games in a row where they're not close and you don't need to use guys like Brian Shaw or myself. And, you know, but you want to get in there and get work, but also those extra innings you throw, you know, they add up and stuff like that. So, but I'm more okay with throwing, having a little heavier workload and staying fresh than not throwing enough and being probably a little bit easier on my arm, but not being fresh, not being crisp, not knowing, like, what's going on when I'm out there. Because a lot of times if I go 3-4 days without getting off of a mound or pitching in the game, you know, I get out there and I don't feel 100% comfortable, and I don't want every single time I get out there to be that 2-0, 2-1 game where I'm just trying to find it, you know. So, you know, I enjoy, you know, and need the games that, you know, or 8-0 or 10-2 where I can get out there and get some work, you know, if I haven't pitched in a few days, and, you know, so just so I know I'm fresh, you know, the next time I go out in a tight one.
You rarely hear baseball referred to it as a team game in a sense that basketball might be, or some other sports, but can the other pitchers in the bullpen have a clear impact on how you perform just based on how they do night in and night out?
Absolutely. But I think more so, not necessarily the performance-wise, you just build on each other. You know, you watched, you know, it was kind of fun to watch Kluber and Carrasco throw back-to-back last year, you know, for that last month and a half, because, you know, I remember watching Kluber go out there and punch out 14 and, you know, give up like one run in 8 innings in Houston, and then Carlos Carrasco goes out there and throws a 2-hit shutout the next night. And it's like, well, nice job, Corey, but I'm going to go out there and do a little bit better than you. So, you know, they just build off of each other. And this works the same way in the bullpen. You know, you get a couple guys that get hot, you know, and you see them, they're pitching well, and it gets you excited. You want to get out there and get in on the action. The same way with an offense, when you get in a rally or a team's, you know, say we get hot and it seems like everybody's hitting, you know, for a couple weeks. And it's just contagious, and you just build off of each other.
Team-wise, close last year. A lot of confidence heading into the season that you're not that far away, and with a couple of different performances, you could be better?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at, we were 4 wins away from being tied with Kansas City, 5 wins away from being in the playoffs, and over 162-game season, 5 wins doesn't seem like a lot, and it isn't. You know, you take the revamped Carlos Carrasco and you put him in the rotation for a full season, there's your 5 wins right there automatically, I believe. You know, we didn't play great defense for, you know, pretty much all year. You know, you take away, say, 20 errors, that could be another win or two right there. And so it's just, we just got to play a little bit better baseball. That's all. And we know we can do it. We know we can play very good baseball. And so the talents here, you know, our starting rotation looks really good. You know, we got some pieces to put in there, and I definitely think we're a team that is, you know, 7-8 wins or more better than we were last year.
That's Indians relief pitcher Cody Allen getting ready to be a big part of the Indians pitching plans this season. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll stay on the mound and visit with Tribe starting pitcher Carlos Carrasco. another key to the Indians' playoff hopes in 2015. We'll visit with Carlos next after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus joining you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland this weekend. Great to have you with us. If you want to check us out on Twitter, and the activity there will pick up once we get to spring training, but certainly guests on this show and show times and everything you need to know about things happening on the radio with the Indians, you can follow us on Twitter. At Indians Radio is our Twitter address. That's at Indians Radio. Well, a big key for the Indians down the stretch last year as they hung in there to the last weekend of the season was the work on the mound in the starting rotation of right-hander Carlos Carrasco. Boy, you talk about an up-and-down season for Carrasco. He made the rotation out of spring training. It seems like so long ago that we were talking in those terms for him, but he was a part of that starting rotation to begin the year, but really struggled in the month of April, and by the end of that month was taken out of the rotation and sent to the bullpen. He did outstanding work in the pen, getting better and better, at first with limited opportunities, but then getting more and more work. And by the beginning of August, the push was on to get him back in the rotation, and back in the rotation he went and was dominant in 10 starts down the stretch, going 5-3. But how about the ERA? 1.30, 78 strikeouts, and only 48 hits allowed over 69 innings of work down the stretch. Those are outstanding numbers across the board. In fact, you could say they were Corey Kluber-like numbers for Carlos Carrasco. And that's saying a lot when you compare him to the pitcher who turned out to be the American League Cy Young Award winner. So Carrasco, just 27 years of age as the season begins, expected to be a big start, a big part of the Indians' starting rotation. And we talked to him during TribeFest week about the season gone by, 2014, looking back on it, an up-and-down season, but really everything worked out for the best.
Hey, let me tell you something. I think when I saw the rotation, so I think I started really struggling. But I think when they sent me to the bullpen, I just give you a break to myself, and every time just think about what I need to do and everything. And as soon as they put me in the bullpen, I just... Everything's is a way different, and I've seen the way that I did and the job that I did in the bullpen. So I just bring it to the starting rotation, and I think there was a very good year last year. So
the role you're on at the end of the year, did you wish the season didn't end when it did?
Oh yes. I said before, I still hungry about the last, let's say, the last 3 months of the season when I was in the reliever in the bullpen, and the last 2 months for the starting. So I think I'm still hungry, and the way we finish, so I think we're going to make it this year.
How do you keep that feeling after an off season and then going back into spring training? How can you kind of pick it up where you left off?
You know what? I've been working in my house and everything. I read some books. I read them myself too. Everything, I watch my videos, so I feel 100% ready, and I feel 100% with that mentality that I have last year. The way that I told you this is because I already throw 6 bullpen, and I feel like last year when I throw bullpen, like comforting and everything, so that's the way that I feel right now.
That is Carlos Carrasco, who finished his season last year with 8 victories, an ERA of 2.55, and seems primed for a big season in the Indians' rotation this year. Well, stay with us. We'll take a look at an Indians' top prospect on the position player side. Double-A outfielder Jordan Smith, that's where he played last year with the Akron Rubber Ducks. And Smith, a big outfielder who the Indians feel has some good power potential. We'll talk to him about that when we come back after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend as we join you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Our last show here in Northeast Ohio, coming to you from here, as our next show will be coming to you from Goodyear, Arizona. And, of course, we'll be in spring training from there on out until the season begins in early April for the Indians. So some good stuff on the horizon as real baseball to be talked about. At least baseball from spring training and not just talking about workouts and things like that, but we'll have a chance to see players on the field getting ready for a new season as quickly as next week. As pitchers and catchers report late next week, the entire squad out there by the beginning of the following week, and by March the 3rd, we'll have baseball on the radio for you, the Indians and Reds from Goodyear Ballpark. Well, recently the Indians held their winter development program, bringing in many of their top prospects, including outfielder Jordan Smith. A big outfielder, goes 6'4", and certainly solidly built. A ninth-round draft pick back in 2011 out of St. Cloud State University in Minnesota. And Smith, born and raised in Minnesota. So when you look at what he's had to overcome, obviously you grow up in a cold weather area and the opportunities to play year-round just not there, as opposed to young men who grow up and are born and raised in Southern California, Florida, Texas, hotbed certainly for baseball prospects. But Smith is someone that the Indians have obviously liked since they saw him during his high school career, then followed him through the early stages of his college career at St. Cloud, and then drafted him back in 2011. He spent all of last year with the Akron Rubber Ducks. He finished first on the ball club in hits, showed some power, not necessarily showing up in the home run numbers, but was second on the ball club with 52 runs scored. He had been an organizational all-star in 2012 and 13, and spent last fall at the Arizona Fall League. So some good things happening for Jordan Smith, and we had a chance to catch up with him during the winter development program. And Smith talked about some of the areas that he's looking to progress in and why the winter development program is a big part of everything he's trying to do.
First reactions, I mean, I was excited. I've heard a lot of good things as far as just good speakers. You get a lot of one-on-one attention as far as when you're practicing and whatnot. I mean, it's cool. It's cool to be around all these other great athletes and teammates. It's just kind of a cool get out of wherever you're training and come up here and train and kind of just get to talk to everyone before you head down to spring training, which is less than a month away now. So, I mean, we're all excited. It's a great group of guys, great group of coaches and whatnot. So we're really just enjoying ourselves.
And you look at this part of the year, and obviously everyone focuses on the regular season, but where you are in your career, the off season can have as much an impact on things as anything. And how have you treated this off season in terms of what you'd like to accomplish?
I actually made a move down to Florida just to be able to hit outside. Being from Minnesota, it gets tough to really get a lot of hitting in. And I mean, I would hit in the cage 3-4 times a week, but I mean, it just doesn't really do it. So I went down, moved in with a teammate on the Indians. We've just been working out together, getting after it, just making sure that when I show up to spring training, I'm in full stride and not in catch-up mode like I have been in years past. So just really hoping that translates into the first few months of the season being more successful instead of starting off slow and then being in catch-up mode throughout the season, trying to get the average up and do all that stuff. So,
and when you look at the type of hitter you'd like to be, you work on different things each year. You see certain progress in certain areas. And when you look at this season, what are you looking to really improve upon and take that next step forward?
I think just the total thing, drive-in runs, hit for more power, be a more of a clutch hitter, timely hitter. I mean, it really just comes down to helping the current team I'm on win and continuing as I move up or wherever I'm placed, just helping that team win and being that guy that they want to put in the lineup every day that's going to be a game changer, help the team win, and just someone they can't go without.
That's outfielder Jordan Smith, a young position player that the Indians are very high on. We'll get a look at him during spring training. Certainly he'll get some major league at-bats in the early stages of the spring, so something we'll look forward to there when the team gets out to Goodyear. They'll stay with us. When we come back, we continue with our American League Central Division previews. Corey Provis, the radio voice of the Minnesota Twins, will give us an update on A lot of change in the offseason in the Twin Cities for their ball club, and we'll visit with Corey next on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk, our final segment for you on this week's show, and we continue with our look around the American League Central Division to see what the other teams in the division are up to. And we come upon this week the Minnesota Twins, a team that made as many moves as any in the division this past offseason as they attempt to recapture some of that glory that they had really since the turn of the century from 2000 on. The Minnesota Twins, one of the top teams in the division yearly, and that was up through 2010 when they won 94 games and won the division. But since then, 99, 96, 96, and last year, 92 losses, each year finishing at or near the bottom of the American League Central Division. In the offseason, Ron Gardenhire, longtime manager of the Twins, relieved of his duties, they brought on Hall of Famer Paul Molitor. And Twins radio voice Corey Provis tells us that when the managerial opening developed, it was Molitor's job all the way.
You know, Rosie, I felt that it was maybe his to lose, and that's kind of just my opinion. I could be dead wrong with that, but it seemed like he was the front runner going in, and then as the process went along, I don't think it's fair to say to the front office saying, okay, that was kind of a song and dance by interviewing all these candidates. It was going to be Molitor all along. I don't think that's just. I don't think that's fair. At the end of the day, just they went with a guy that they maybe had in their mind that, okay, this is who we envision being in this chair when we make this decision. And that's just kind of how it turned out. He's somebody that's very well respected. Obviously, his baseball resume speaks for itself. But, you know, he's never managed before, Rosie, on any level, in the minor leagues, let alone the big league clubs. So this will be an adjustment for him. But I know he's up for the challenge.
And you mentioned the lack of managerial experience. But lately, it seems like that hasn't been that big a factor in some recent hires, in a sense, right, in the division there in Detroit with Brad Ausmus and also Mike Matheny. And is that really as big a consideration today as it maybe it was a couple of years back?
You know, I remember an interview that my broadcast partner Dan Gladden did with Gene Lamont last year when the Twins were playing the Tigers, and that exact question came up. And Gene mentioned at the time that maybe that's the direction the game is going in, that you don't always have to hire the guy that's maybe managed every year in your minor league system and then has done that on a variety of levels in the minor leagues, where Gene was saying that, you know, hire just some guys that maybe haven't done it before but seem to have a savvy baseball mind. Now you have to surround them with some people that have experience, and that's what the Twins have done. You know, Joe Vavra's back on the Twins coaching staff. He's been with the team for a long time. Gene Glenn is also part of Molitor's staff, and Gene's a former big league manager. He managed the Twins' Triple-A team the last few seasons. So there is going to be some experience around him, but maybe there is something to that, Rosie, that the trend that we're seeing, whether it's even a guy like Mike Matheny in St. Louis, a guy that didn't have a lot of experience before he got that job, but you know, he seems to be doing just fine. You know, playing the big leagues, and maybe that can carry you for a while, but how you handle just the day-in, day-out chores that is needed for a big league manager, whether it's the lineup, whether it's the personalities, whether it's the media, you know, that's something that I think that Molitor is going to be tested with early on.
From a fan standpoint, what makes him the great pick for the Minnesota Twins?
Well, they're hoping that his familiarity with our minor league system, I think, will go a long way. And that's before he joined the Twins dugout last year. He was in the Twins system. He was kind of a roving instructor. He'd bounce around. He'd see him in spring training, and he'd always be on the backfields working with the minor leaguers. And you know, it happened again this year, Jim, where you know, the Twins minor league system is ranked, if not number one, then top two, top three in the game. And you know, all the guys that are making their way through the system and maybe will impact the team as early as this year, you know, Molitor's seen them at some level. You know, Molitor's seen them either on the field or, you know, whether it was in the off season going to visit them at their respective homes and where they work out. You know, he's been a part of their baseball lives in some way, shape, or form. So maybe that was impactful in the Twins front office selecting Molitor to be their guy.
Corey Provis joining us, Twins radio voice, and the Minnesota Twins trying to get back in that upper echelon of the American League Central Division. And you mentioned farm system, very strong, widely regarded as one of the best in the game for a while now. But some nice veteran acquisitions in the off season. And do you like what they've done there with adding a few key pieces?
I do. You know, I think every team will say the same thing, though, that, you went out there and you would have liked to maybe added more. I'm sure there were some things that didn't happen the Twins were involved in, whether it was via trade or another free agent. I think it begins with the starting pitching. And Rosie, you've seen that the Twins in recent years and seen how woeful the starters have been, the lack of innings, the lack of strikeouts. That clearly remains the priority, because I don't care what you have. You know, you can load up your team with all the offense, have some of these power arms in the bullpen. You got to get some innings and some success out of your starters, and the Twins just have not had that. So they went out, they signed Ervin Santana. It didn't come cheap, but they signed a guy that I don't think he's expected to be the ace. I think Till Hughes kind of goes into the season as the number one guy based on how his 2014 went. But then you have Santana, that number two slot. The number three is kind of, I would think, up in the air. You know, if you look at the dollars in it, Ricky Nolasco may be that guy, but, you know, his performance last year, I don't think, dictates a number three role. You know, Kyle Gibson's going to be in the mix, of course, to be in the rotation. Then there's going to be a compelling, I guess, race for that number five spot that we'll see it play out in camp. You know, defensively, they've added some people, namely Torrey Hunter, obviously, is back. You know, Torrey's 39 years old. He's going to be in right field. And right field's tough at Target Field, as you've seen. But Torrey's going to be in right, and Oswaldo Arcia's going to be in left. So they've added Torrey, but this is not just this reunion tour come on back. They paid him $10.5 million to do that. So they're hoping that that he can produce. And, you know, Rosie, if he was on the Twins last year, he would have led the team in RBIs. And he would have been one home run off the leaderboard. He had 17 last year, so he wouldn't be too far behind in that regard either. That just kind of tells you where the Twins have been lacking in recent years.
And from a fit standpoint, you got to figure that they'll be, as you mentioned earlier, they're going to be breaking in some young players, very bright prospects at the major league level for the first time. He has to be an ideal fit for that type of club.
I would think so. And, for example, you know, Aaron Hicks' struggles have been well documented. Well, what Terry Ryan has said repeatedly is that what he sees in Aaron Hicks reminds him of where Torrey Hunter was comparably at his age. And when, you know, Hicks was struggling, he can kind of go back and see, boy, this is exactly what Torrey Hunter looked like. I see a duplicate version of Torrey Hunter, and now I'm seeing that with Aaron Hicks. So maybe, you know, Torrey can kind of bring Aaron in, and that this will be the springboard to get Hicks going, because he's got one option left. And you know, Hicks is going to have to win that job again in center. He's won it the last two springs, but, you know, Jordan Schaefer performed very well for the Twins, specifically in September of last year. So you know, I think Schaefer and Hicks are both going to make the team, but who's going to start opening day in Detroit, I think, is going to be based on how the two perform down in Florida beginning in early March.
And one last player I wanted to touch on, Joe Mauer, obviously a fan favorite in Minnesota for such a long time. His career's taken some turns in recent seasons. How's his health going into 2015, and where does he fit in all this that's happening in Minnesota?
Kind of the big unknown, in the sense that now health shouldn't be an issue. He's healthy. He said that, speaking with him not too long ago at the Twins, fan event, Twins Fest, and then on the caravan before that, he's been able to train this off season in a way he hasn't done in a long time, because he's been healthy. He didn't have the lingering concussion. He didn't have anything that was holding him back physically this winter. It's about production, though, for Joe, and that's the enigma right now. He's over, he's 30, 31 years old right now, but he's still, his bat speed hasn't really been the issue. But why has his performance dropped off in recent years? that's what nobody can figure out. And I'm sure that during the managerial process, Rosie, that this was a question that all the candidates were asked about, how do you fix Joe Mauer? And they're paying the guy so much money, and he's got to produce. They need, he just can't be a guy that hits 265, 270. I don't think he's ever going to hit, 29 home runs again. I don't think he's going to ever hit knocking 100 runs. But can he be the high on base percentage guy? Can he at least slug a little bit more than he has in recent years? But maybe for Mauer, the adjustment is just swing at the first pitch more often. He's somebody that's so good at working the count. He's a terrific two-strike hitter, and his career numbers kind of back that up. But maybe for him, it's, if I get that first pitch fastball, I can't be so passive. Maybe that's the one that I have to swing at and kind of be more aggressive with, that maybe in the past, okay, I'll take that pitch because I may get it again two or three pitches later. Well, that hasn't happened because Mauer, the last two seasons, Rosie, his strikeouts have gone up. And so maybe to counter that, maybe we'll see a more aggressive Joe Mauer this year earlier in the count.
And in closing, for the longest time, from the turn of the century on up till just a few years ago, the Twins were one of those teams that each year was a contender in the AL Central. It's been a tough go the last several seasons. New ballpark, Target Field, great facility. But I know it's been a challenge because of the losing records in recent seasons. Does this become a big year to show some progress to the fans in Minnesota?
I think that's a very fair question and a great point, because they don't have the All-Star game to kind of hang their hat on like they did a year ago at this time. Season ticket numbers are down. Twins are not going to hide that. Right now, 2 million fans is kind of what they're hoping for, but all of a sudden, if you have success in the field, then that number will go up. I think this is a fan base that is getting, that's always going to be passionate, but they're getting disappointed with, we're trying, we've got this great farm system. They want to see it on the field. They want to see progress. Now, it won't be easy, because the division has really gotten good this winter. I still think the Tigers, Rosie, are the team to beat, but look at the Royals. I like what the Indians did by adding the bat and Brandon Voss. The White Sox, boy, they are really going to be, I think, a tough team to beat in a short series. So the division has gotten really good. And that's just going to have to be kind of raise, I think, everybody's expectations internally. Yes, the division's got good, but the Twins have some talent, and they're hoping that some of the prospects that people write about and rave about will impact the team at some point, both out on the field and on the pitcher's mound. So that's what they're kind of hoping for. They're hoping that this wave of talent maybe arrives, and this first wave arrives, and things will start to turn around here in the near future.
Well, it won't be long until you get a first look at that new talent and some of the new veterans that are in town as well, as spring training's right around the corner. And Corey Provis, thanks so much for coming by, talking Twins with us for a little while here on Tribe Talk.
Anytime, Rosie. Have a great time out in Arizona. We'll catch up soon.
That's Corey Provis, radio voice of the Minnesota Twins, talking about, as expected, a lot of optimism in Minnesota with a new manager and a lot of new parts and pieces to a franchise that really feels that their farm system is in great shape, but as they wait for those prospects to establish themselves at the major league level. They've added some good veterans there, and it'll be interesting to see how it all mixes together and what the results are on the field for Minnesota. Well, as we wrap up this week's show, the Indians announced earlier this week their start times for the 2015 schedule. A couple of minor changes, but some that could be interesting in terms of fans planning to come to games for the Indians. The home opener will be April the 10th against the Tigers. That's a Friday afternoon, and it begins at 4:10, and that 10 part of the equation is something new this year. All Indians home games will start at 10 after the hour this year instead of 5 after the hour. So just a little bit later start time to each game this season. But what's interesting, there is going to be select weeknight home games in April and May that will begin at 6:10 instead of 7:10. The Indians trying that out to see how that works early in the season. A chance, especially with kids in school, if they want to come down to the ball game, they can take in most of the game and still get home at a reasonable hour and see if maybe it's more convenient for folks who are downtown and working until 5:30 to just come directly over to the ballpark and enjoy Tribe Baseball, especially early in the season, get a little bit earlier start time. It might make a difference weather-wise just a little bit. The games in question, Kansas City will be in April 27th through the 29th. That's early in the week, a midweek type situation there, Monday through Wednesday nights, and those games will start at 6:10. And then when the Cardinals come into town for an interleague series in mid-May, the games on May the 12th and May the 13th, Tuesday and Wednesday nights, those will start at 6:10. So we'll see how those go over, and if fans enjoy them, I'm sure the Indians will look to do that on a more regular basis in the future. Interleague this year, the National League Central, should say, will feature the opponents for the Tribe this year. The Cardinals making that visit in May. Also on the home schedule, the Reds come in on a weekend again. The series with the Reds, once again, it's 2 3-game series on weekends, going back to what it was a couple of years back before it was switched to just 4 games back-to-back midweek, which didn't seem to go over quite as well. Well, now the Battle of Ohio will take place on weekends once again, with the Reds coming to Cleveland on May the 22nd through the 24th, a Friday through Sunday. Indians will return that visit right after the All-Star break, July the 17th through the 19th. The other teams coming into Cleveland, the Cubs for 2 games on June the 17th and 18th, and the Brewers, who visit town August 25th and 26th. The Indians will also play the Cubs on the road. Wrigley Field, always a treat to head to one of the oldest ballparks in baseball, a great old facility. I know they're doing some renovations, but it's still Wrigley, and the Indians will be there June 15th and 16th. And we mentioned that Red series on the road, and then the Brewers, the Indians will play in Milwaukee on July 21st and 22nd. So that's your interleague schedule, so you can make your plans now. Single game tickets will go on sale to those fans registered for the Indians online on sale on March the 3rd. Fans can register for the on sale at indians.com/online-on-sale, and you can still pick up season tickets before single games go on sale. Just go to indians.com for more information on season ticket packages, or you can call the ticket office at 216-420-HITS for more details on season tickets. You save an average of 40% on tickets compared to single game buyers if you go the season ticket route. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us this week. Again, we'll join you next week from Goodyear, Arizona, as we'll be at spring training from here on out as the Indians prepare for the new season to come. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you, you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
This ball is way back there, way back there, way back, baby, bye-bye.
Swinging a long drive, deep right field, forget about it, going, going, gone, goodbye.
Hey, get up, get out of here, go!
A swing and a miss! Ball game!
The Cleveland Indians!
Hey, 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 let's go try! Hey, 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 let's go try!
All right!
You've been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.